Okay, Becky Clark, thank you very much for coming to give oral evidence today. Did you want to say anything to begin with, or?
I will just start by saying that, as I understand it, obviously you have to take direction from the committee. My evidence will largely be related to the broadband obligation agreement, so the broadband contract. There are elements of that in terms of general principles I'm happy to discuss in open session. However, if any of the questions relate to specific provisions or management of the contract, there's a commercial confidentiality attached to that. I'll have to either decline to answer if the session is closed to any members.
Okay, thank you very much. Good. Who wants to start? Tess, what did you have?
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions, and as you just acknowledged, if you can give a more complete answer in a closed session, that would be appreciated. But what you can say in public is also great importance for the public. So the first is, and I know this was a known issue a few years ago. It was identified in a conversation in the House that we've had, which is currently what data is actually gathering to ensure that there is proper and adequate monitoring and implementation of our investments, such as the subsidy or the infrastructure.
So the broadband contract, which was signed in 2022, contains a specific provision to ensure to provide the relevant information to ensure that the subsidy agreed under that contract is being used for the purposes defined in that contract. Largely, that is being assessed through a series of KPIs, which are also attached to that contract as a schedule, and which were mutually agreed also in 2022 when the contract was signed. The data that's required depends on which KPIs are being monitored, so some of it's very simple public information, how these things being launched, how the information been provided. Some of it is more complex, commercial information to do with where levels of satellite bands have been provided from and how. So the amount of data and the sort of data we request varies, and it depends on the KPIs, but I can say that the contract meet management meetings we have show has never failed to provide requested information.
Thank
you.
Anyone else? Kevin?
No.
Mark? Leona? Did you have anything?
No, not for me. Thank you,
Josh. Becky? Hey. Leona? John?
I actually have one.
It's known,
generally speaking, that all governments have to take a long view. As actually businesses have to take a long view. So can you confirm that the time scale that FIG, in the knowledge that there are just short of 3 years left in the exclusive contract, can you give any idea of the time scale at which FIG would start working up towards the next, if you need, was one, next contract?
FIG's already started work on this. So there was a conversation which started with the technology development group, which contained representatives from businesses, communities, and all around the Falklands, to identify a specification for how we approach the next three-year period, to use it as a period for review and establishing commercial and economic options for after the license period. The earliest point at which FIG can give notice to Shore is the 1st of January 2026. Come to the end of the contract on the 1st of January 2028. So, as you say, that's pretty much 3 years, a couple of months. The Technology Development Group work led to a public international procurement exercise to find telecommunications consultants to give the support and expertise in the subject matter that FIG simply doesn't have in-house. There's a paper coming to Exco next week to consider that. That paper will be commercially confidential at the moment because it's contains to ongoing negotiations and contract terms, but we will certainly, once that's hopefully been approved, be taken up board with the public. The exercise that we're planning is going to be in two phases, an initial consultation involving consultants coming to the islands, talking with everyone who's interested online, and then conducting a legal and technical review of the current provisions set up. And then a second phase is to table that information and provide FIG with an idea of what the market options look like and to engage in whatever procurement exercises are.
That's a good idea.
That, obviously, as approved by the council. So the current timeline for that is that we can get through the entirety of 2025. There will be several milestones within that, one of which will be the production of the initial review, the second of which will be a decision by Executive Council on the findings of that review and what direction it wishes to take, and then the third, which will be obviously a public exercise internationally to look at what we might do in the next period. We've not ruled anything in or out for that, so we haven't ruled in or out an exclusive contract, we haven't in or out multiple provisions, we haven't ruled in or out splitting the different elements of telecommunications. So it is key to remember this is about all telecommunications aspects, not just the broadband provision. Our intention, although it's an ambitious timescale, so we'll push to get there, our intention is to be in a position by the end of 2025 for Executive Council to be able to make an intelligent, informed decision about what it wants to do in terms of setting notice for the current contract and license and how that next phase will work.
Thank you, but you don't have a date for, well, you say by the end of 2025, it's quite a big year, 2025, you wouldn't have any, be able to give any indications to what quarter 2025.
Not at the moment, because we will wait on Executive Council's decision about the appointment of consultants and their work with those consultants on their project plans, which will be also the public, so that everyone's aware of the timescales when they've been sort of sorted out and we know what's actually practical.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for that insight. It's actually that's really incredibly helpful. Obviously, the committee is concerned for a matter of public interest, obviously the petition has been come forward, but also we are concerned about the lack of data that we could provide to understand the impact on other communication services, which are covered by the telecoms exclusive licence as well, and how that would be affected should these that be changed. Please can you offer a view to that as well as from an FIP perspective? Please can you offer a view on the consideration of the LEO rollouts and the disruption in quality of service information that has been presented? And from the department's view, please can you offer a view on whether that represents good value to pay as money?
So on the final point, the value to taxpayers' money on the broadband obligation is assessed through KPIs in that contract. As I said, there's not discussed ongoing contract management issues in the open session, so I've declined to answer on the specific point to make more detail at this point. But as I previously said, Sure has never not provided the information asked for. In terms of other telecoms provision, that doesn't currently come under an area that I'm responsible for or manage. In terms of the current provision, it is encapsulated into the project I've just outlined for that telecoms provision after the review process period ends. When it comes to that process, we've had conversations with Shaw about the amount of information that they will be willing and able to provide to our consultants, and that's been a positive conversation again because we haven't appointed the consultants yet. We don't have a definitive sort of set of terms, but it's something that we'll be working really closely with Shaw on to make sure that our consultants have the right information that they need to be able to make sensible and workable recommendations for future reports.
I wondered then, do you view that the standard of service of speed and cost of service to consumers has kept pace with international developments? If not, is it not reasonable to allow self-provision when the exclusive provider who has the advantage of economies of scale, a large government subsidy of around £1 million per annum, plus large contracts with FIG worth over £200,000 per annum for broadband, has failed to provide an up-to-date service given the monopoly that was set up to ensure the best possible service to all consumers, and particularly, you know, with, as regards LEO, which was supposed to provide a step change in speed that from last December. What's your opinion on that?
I have not got the expertise to offer an opinion on international provision of telecoms. I can speak to the current levels of provision in terms of the broadband obligation contract. What I would say is, like, echoing in this, some of what the regulator previously said, complying with what was asked of them, with the exception of the introduction of the MEO services, which is a contract management matter. With that exception, ensuring the fact exceeded the amount of funds that they were required to provide under the broadband obligation. And again, as the regulators previously mentioned, has introduced packages in advance and it enhanced from what was required under the price controls of the broadband obligation. I think one of the understandable frustrations with this process is that members of the public and others looking at this have always wanted to look at a sort of direct cost comparison. Whereas in fact, the way that it has been contracted for and is regulated, it's about what Shaw puts into the Falklands rather than what they take out of it, if that makes sense. In terms of what we've required them to do, those requirements, with the exception of the introduction of MEO services, have been met.
Thank you. Anyone else? Question?
I suppose just to thank you for your time, but also if I think a closed session would be useful to understand in a bit more detail some of these more sensitive areas.
So perhaps we should draw to a close and then perhaps if, would you mind staying on and then we have some time just to have a closed session. Thank you very much everybody for coming today. Thanks to everybody that took part. It's been informative. Thank you.